Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome back to the most wonderful educational third eye opening podcast that live streams to Facebook, and it is Tuesday night and it is 8:30. Yeah, it's not 8:15. We're running a little late tonight. What do you want? Maghrib keeps moving, so you know, we move just a little bit. What can I say? But we are here once again back to share our edutainment with all of you. So though, if you've never heard that before, edutainment is where we educate through entertainment. And I feel like I might be talking a bit too much. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our friends and families across the world. I want to thank you for tuning in to, once again, another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar and Carl Dodge. And yes, the time continues to move forward, and that is only in light of the fact that Maghrib prayer is getting later and the days are getting longer, and thus we want to make sure that we complete our prayer before we come to you so that we don't have to rush through the segment in fear of missing our prayer. But thank you once again for joining us. The month of Ramadan is right around the corner. We can literally see it, and very soon we'll be able to smell it. And the reason I say smell it is because all those spices and all those special things that we are not accustomed to on a day-to-day basis start coming out of the cupboards and the pantries, and they come home in grocery bags, because Ramadan is known for a lot of food, a lot of festivities, iftars, dinners, and gatherings, and so on and so forth. So thank you again, once again, for listening. And Carl, today we want to talk to our listeners in light of the close proximity of Ramadan. What is the key to a successful Ramadan? Or what are the keys to a successful Ramadan? And I thought of this topic tonight, Carl, because I just got back from Arizona this weekend. I've been really exhausted. And just as a side note, did you know, Carl, Arizona is a state that does not change the time? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And do you know who else? I'm actually going to flip the camera here as I share this, although maybe I shouldn't. But do you know who else is playing with the concept of not joining time zone change?
Well, Florida was one.
Yeah, no, it's Arizona and Florida.
And that's interesting, because these are the two states that host spring training. These are two states predominantly known for the snowbirds during the winter time. So that's interesting. I never knew there was a 3-hour gap between the two of us. When I got there, the time kind of hit me hard. So I'm still kind of recuperating from the time change, which was short-lived, but it still had an impact. Coming back from Arizona, and watching things on social media, you have all these seminars and trainings and how to have a successful Ramadan and the Fiqh 101, the jurisprudence on Ramadan. There's one was in New Jersey. I saw their schedule. My Allah, every single day almost, this sheikh and that speaker and this thing and that thing. And I'm like, we're really flooding Ramadan to the extent that it's like when you add too much water to the batter of the pancake mix. What happens then, Carl, when you add too much water?
You ruin the pancakes, and that's just a shame. That's absolutely terrible. And mm-hmm. there's special punishment for people that ruin pancakes.
And I'm with Carl on this. We'll make a open proclamation, because pancakes have to be done right. I am a very pancakes are close to my heart, and if we mess them up, then it's a big loss and it's a big wrong that shouldn't be let go with a slap on the wrist. So I'm like, you know what's happening, Carl? There is, in the Ramadan has become the height of education and programs, entertainment, food, and fun. And I think we spoke about this in our last session briefly, that we've really lost touch with what Ramadan is about. And so I wanted to just present a few keys that I feel are instrumental, that can be a source of benefit for myself and for you and for all our listeners that are tuning in either here tonight on Facebook Live or that will be downloading in the near future. Your thoughts?
Sorry, I wasn't realize you were passing it over to me. You just said you wanted to share some thoughts, and I was like, okay, go. Share your thoughts. I don't know what.
Do you feel that we're just so disconnected from the essence of Ramadan? Like we're just stuffing down so much education. We're having too many dinners and feasts and interfaith dinners, and invite your neighbor dinners, and then the Eid festivals, and you know, the last tonight sehris in the masjid, which are really extravagant, mashallah. What's your thoughts about these things?
So I think, given that it's a special time of year, we really do try to stuff as much in there as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I think that's the one time of the year that you're guaranteed an audience. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, people are going to the mosque, you know, people are coming to pray late, and you know, people are coming to pray for Tarawiyah. You know that, you know, it's funny, but it's semi-related, but not really. But when I was growing up, my grandfather used to refuse to go to church on Easter and Thanksgiving. And my grandmother was always like, why would you refuse to go to church on Easter and Thanksgiving? And he says, do I go the rest of the year? And my grandmother would say, no, you don't. And he said, exactly. Only hypocrites go only on Easter and Christmas and no other time during the year. So, and I always think of that story during Ramadan, because not only are people going to be there in the morning and staying late and you're going to be extra hours, but those people that don't show up the rest of the year are going to show up for Ramadan.
And so do you feel that we're pandering to them? You know, instead of just serving them, we're like, you know what, let's really show them something good as a mosque or an institution that will inspire them to continue coming after Ramadan, or let us show them that we're worth it when it comes to the services that we provide, so that your funds should be allocated here. Because what I've noticed, Carl, a lot of mosques are really stretched thin when it comes to finances. They're having a very difficult time raising the funds to merely function the facility for the whole year. And I don't know if they're thinking that let's do more dinners, let's do more activities for your kids, because your kids are going to say, Mom, Dad, I don't want to go home tonight. And you're like, you know what? While they love it so much, it's worth $20 for me or $100. Or that we're just going to, you know, give you so much education that you'll be like, wow, if there's so much going on right now, imagine how much would go on after Ramadan. It's worth my 2 cents. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? That's how I feel. I don't want to be a critic, because sometimes I do come across with a lot of critical views, but I feel that, and that's how I see things. But I would love to be proved wrong. Now, it doesn't bother me the slightest bit.
So I don't know if you would say that my opinion is different, or I don't know. I think for me, what I get is, don't make this stuff special for Ramadan. Don't treat me different in Ramadan. Don't do different, because after Ramadan, I'm going to be looking for this continuously. And if you're only nice to me and you're only welcoming to me and you only want me here because it's Ramadan, because you want my money, then when I come back after Ramadan and you treat me the way you did before Ramadan, I'm not coming back no more, and neither is my checkbook.
And Carl, man, you just hit the nail on the head. So we're seeing these problems, and these problems are becoming the norm everywhere you go, regardless if it's a large masjid or a small a one unique cultured community or a multicultural community. So we could go on talking about these issues, and I'm sure that, you know, we're seeing eye to eye on something. We want our listeners to tune in and tell us their thoughts on these things, because I don't want to say people are hypocritical during Ramadan, but I feel I could be hypocritical during Ramadan, where, you know, I see things are happening better, or I could serve better. And when it comes to end of Ramadan, well, you know what? Good luck. Wait till next year. So there's like five or six things that I want to point out. And these are what we can take home tonight as six keys, wherein we are substituting current practices that are on the rise within communities that we feel are relevant and that are game changers, or that they're products that will sell, with keys that we may not consider to be important, but I want to shed some light and give them importance. The first one, Carl, is interfaith. So nowadays we're having a lot of interfaith iftars, where we call all the community, you know, the people of the city, neighboring churches, religious leaders, and people who are serving in government positions within our town or city to come break fast with us, to break bread with us, to share the experience of Ramadan, of how it is to eat food. It's a great thing. I'm not undermining it. But if this takes preference and priority over the key that I'm presenting, then I feel it's problematic, Carl. You know, you could call anyone for dinner to your mosque at any given time. Don't you agree with that? Or is Ramadan the only time?
No, you're absolutely right. You can call anybody at any time to come visit your mosque. It doesn't have to be Ramadan. I mean, maybe it's easier in Ramadan because, you know, it's like your birthday party. You're like, hey, come over. And people are like, nah, I don't want to come. Hey, it's my birthday. Okay, well, I'll come over then. Maybe that's the logic. But at the same time, no, any of these people can come over at any time to do your dinners and speak to the audience and the parishioners.
Well, I feel, Carl, that it is a special time, like you equated it to a birthday, but don't you think it's a more difficult time because you're fasting and then you have to accommodate all this food and stuff for a larger number of people, which you're not accustomed to doing? It's a tough thing. Maybe we could call them for the Eid dinner. What's wrong with that? Like, I don't think there's anything different. But nevertheless, I'm not downplaying any community that feels doing interfaith iftars is going to bring the community together. However, the substitute key to this one is that when we have, according to The Economist, an article that I highlighted, I think last week, that 23% of our Muslims who were born and raised in this country no longer prescribe to Islam as their religion, why not spend some time and effort to shed some light on their pains and on their misunderstandings pertaining to Islam and the Muslim community, and try to have them come for iftar? Like, I feel it's a more successful approach when you're trying to reclaim and bring back those people who are from our community and our family that are disenfranchised from the institutions and the faith itself, to bring them back. Use Ramadan as a pedestal that, you know what, things have gone sour and wrong, I'm to blame. Let's come together to the Ramadan and just let's to the masjid in this blessed month of Ramadan, and let's just break fast together. I think, to me, if I was given those two options, I would take the latter instead of the former. But I feel that many of us are taking the former, i.e. interfaith iftars, not knowing the density of the problem that is rising from the latter. Because that 23% doesn't come from Washington or from Florida. It comes from around the country.
So I know you and I were talking before the show went live, and I was sharing some personal frustration with intra-faith stuff as opposed to interfaith. And I actually had the privilege, it was an honest privilege, recently to sit down with Sheikh Azhar and you probably don't know the name right offhand.
I do.
Yeah, the Twitter Sheikh, you know? Yes, yeah. I had the privilege to sit down with him and talk about Ramadan with him. And he's an amazing guy. And he, you know, he's fun to talk to, and you know, he's almost as funny in real life as he is on Twitter. I think he's a little funnier on Twitter because it's a little bit drier, but because it's, you know, it's 140 characters versus a full-on conversation. But at the same time, to see the comments, to see the, oh, how dare you sit down with this person and blah 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 blah. I don't, maybe it's because I'm a convert that I wasn't raised with the cultural stigmatisms, but I don't get it. And it frustrates me because we have, as Muslims, we have enough coming at us from the outside that we need to gather around the table, break fast together, Sunni, Shia, whatever, so that we can stand together as opposed to, you know, letting, I don't know, I don't want to say it's cultural, but letting these other differences get in the way. Because, you know, I hate to say it, but we can watch the KKK and the neo-Nazis come together. They can stand on a single platform and move as one, but we're gonna separate ourselves over this stuff, and it's, we need to stop that.
Well, Carl, you just opened the doors for the second key. The second key for a successful Ramadan, as we are hoping that the mayor of our city, the leaders of our town, make a proclamation, or they put a sign outside City Hall or the church, "Happy Ramadan" to our Muslim friends in the community. Many of us love to see that, and many of us feel that that's progress for the Muslim community in our town, and it actually does good in our favor when it comes to contesting or challenging Islamophobia and all the hatred. But Carl, why not utilize that energy and time towards bringing the different sects of Islam together under one roof for iftar? Sheikh Azhar, the one you talked about that you are alluding towards, for those who don't know, he is a Twitter scholar from the Shia community. He is someone who is respected in the Shia community as a scholar and someone of knowledge. Now, you could be a Sunni, you could be from Nation of Islam, you could be Shiite, you could be from the different groups and sects that are there in our Islam. And we do have our differences. I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no differences, but those differences aren't as severe as maybe our differences with the Christian community, the Jewish community, the Buddhist community, the Baha'i community, the Hindu community, the Sikh community, the agnostic community. We have a lot of differences in many different ways. Some of our differences are theological, some of our differences are otherwise, but at the end of the day, it's so wrong in my eyes when I feel that I could sit next to, you know, a Jew or a Christian and break fast and say, "Hey guys, look, we're doing this interfaith thing. We're all in it together. Look, the Jewish community, the Christian community is sitting with us, breaking fast. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this America? This is the unity we want." But will not allow a Shia to come into a Sunni mosque to break fast, or we won't go to the Nation of Islam mosque to break fast. Again, I'm not saying that we have to talk about merging lines here. We don't do that with the interfaith community. We're talking about being respectful to enough, especially to those who are celebrating the same holy month that we are, that are praying to the same Allah that we are, that can we just come together and put aside those differences just for 1 month? So this is a problem. We are advertising to the world. We want the world to talk about how our Ramadan is so amazing and epic. And forget about the moon fights. We can't even see eye to eye when it comes to a person who believes in the Shia ideology or doctrine in comparison to Sunni. And there was a big WhatsApp war this week on a group that I'm not even going to name. And it was all because a few from the Sunni community downplayed the Shiite community and the Ahmadi community. And at the end of the day, Carl, you and I could fight to death. Is that going to make a difference? you know, if there's things that happened in the past and there's things that are happening in the present in different countries, this is all calls. These are calls to action. When there is the stigmatizing of the Shia versus Sunni community, it's our job to bring those two communities together. When there is putting down of the African Americans in this country, for those from the Indo-Pak community, the Arab community that don't know, FYI, lesson number 101 on Islam, the Black Muslims were in this country before you and I smelt the air of America. These people were here from the late 1800s, the early 1900s. They came as slaves, but they came as Muslims. Islam came to them, Islam came from them, and a lot from the native Indians had also embraced Islam courtesy of them. So let's not forget about bringing our different intra-faith people together in this Ramadan if we want to make it successful. And, you know, Carl, we could go on this, and it boils my blood because I see that this is actively being ignored as we are actively responding and opening our eyes to these ideas of others instead of our own. And again, for those listening, I'm not saying don't do it for others. I'm saying if you see the others as important, please see within your own as an equal or more importance. The third thing is, Carl, education, as I talked about. So much emphasis on learning, learning, learning. When to fast? What could break fast? If you do a blood test, is that going to break fast? If you drink water, does it reach your stomach? Is that going to break fast? If you eat a pebble by mistake, Carl, I don't know who eats pebbles nowadays, but if you're going to talk about if you ate a pebble and since it's not edible, it's not going to break your fast. But if a piece of gum goes down your stomach and it was edible, it's going to break your fast. You know what? If those scenarios come up, brothers and sisters, do go to your imam and ask him. I'm confident that he will let you know. If not, go to a scholar, female or male, and they'll let you know that. But these are not important. When, Carl, when ISIS is still successfully recruiting our communities. Do you know the latest ISIS story, Carl?
I saw something across the headline earlier this week that I forget what it was. There was somebody had gone to fight for ISIS and they had been killed or something to that effect. I didn't read the headline.
Well, basically what happened was in Texas, a very major city in Texas, Dallas, which has over 200,000 Muslims, a youngster was apprehended by the FBI that had purchased weapons. He had pledged allegiance to ISIS. He was going to go shoot up the mall in Frisco during Ramadan, and he was going to kill all the infidels. He already made videos for post-shooting just in case he was killed. And so what I'm talking about here, you're talking about education, education, education. Why not make our education relevant, not just for Ramadan, the 30 days, but for the entire year, not just for the older folks, even for the folks. Not for the cultural folks or the East Asian folks, rather for all people. Because as much as we're debating fiqh, do you start Isha an hour and 20 after Maghrib or do you start Isha an hour and 35 after Maghrib? Our children are sick and tired of all this. And guess what's happening? ISIS is still successfully recruiting them on American soil in the midst of large communities, in the presence of great Muslim families, where this thing shouldn't have happened at all. We've already spoken about ISIS multiple times in multiple segments of our podcast. But again, you want to educate? Good stuff. Two thumbs up to you. You know, this is just one. Let me bring you a second. Two thumbs up to you. But you know what? Educate on things that will be relevant and hopefully make the backbone of the devil, i.e. ICE and their like. So that's another key that I think we can use. Carl, in essence of time, number four, all want to do in Ramadan. You know, Carl, I'll park my car where I want to, even if it's a handicapped spot, because I don't want to miss one unit of prayer of Tarawih. I don't care if I push you aside, I need to finish my Quran. I don't care if I was breaking the line to get my food, because I need to get back into the mosque and do my prayers. Ramadan has also become, unfortunately, me, myself, and I want to do, I want to gain, I want to get close to Allah. Let me give you another option. If you want to get close to Allah, how about another key of success is do for others. Park far so someone could park close. Miss a rakah, let someone else pray and do security outside. Let someone who didn't ever get a chance to sit and read the Quran. Let them read the Quran today, and you serve food at the mosque for other people to eat, i.e. find your closest to Allah through service of others, just as you want to find closest to Allah through service of yourself. What are your thoughts, Carl, before we go into the last 2 points?
So, a couple of things that I'm going to share here. First, we'll go through Facebook. We have one comment from Layla. Assalamu alaikum. We're so happy when Sister Layla joins us.
Sister.
She says, Assalamu alaikum. She says, I am guilty of doing this too over the past few years, but when Ramadan gets closer, we plan on doing so many good deeds in the beginning. We hit hard, full speed ahead, and mid-Ramadan, we start losing our momentum. We start losing gas. Then it causes us to be disappointed. We didn't reach our goals, and we end up giving up before Ramadan is even over. May we benefit from the fruits of this blessed month. Imam Azhar, please try to visit her local mosque. That was that. Brother Naeem, who some of you, if you're in the chat room, you might know him from Native Dean. He's a singer and a musician. I guess he's a friend of mine. I don't know if he will or not, but if he'll comment now and approve that. But I'm going to go ahead and call him a friend because I think he's a good guy. He gave us a thumbs up. He said you had a really good message that you were going with there. And the one subject that you touched on, and before I throw it back to you, I just want to run over this real quick because it made me chuckle. You said fighting over the moon. And I remember when it was the first year I converted, and it was like a month and some change before Ramadan, and I was excited, and I'm like, I'm a Muslim this year, and I'm gonna fast, and I'm gonna be ready for Ramadan, and I'm gonna have this down, and I'm gonna be set. And then Ramadan hit, and I was checking Twitter, and I was talking to the Muslim friends I had made, and I was talking to Muslim associates, and I was talking to the people at the mosque. Oh no, Ramadan's tomorrow. No, no, Ramadan was yesterday. No, no, Ramadan was over here. And it was just, as a new Muslim, my first Ramadan, I couldn't figure out when Ramadan started because nobody could agree and nobody could tell me.
Oh my God.
So those are my thoughts. Back to you, sir.
Well, first of all, Layla, Sister Layla, thank you so much. And inshallah, it'll be an honor to come and visit your mosque and your community. Do let us know later on where it is, and we'll see what we can do during the month of Ramadan. Last year, I was traveling for 27 of the 30 days of Ramadan. This year, I plan to be traveling around 18 of those days. Inshallah, I have some days to accommodate. Inshallah. Brother Naeem, shout out to you, alhamdulillah, dear friend, dear brother. We go back a long way. He's my brother, so alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your comments. And of course, you know, Carl, you guys work in the same field, so alhamdulillah. Two more points, Carl. Again, for our listeners, we're talking about the keys to success for Ramadan. Just to recap, we're talking about all the interfaith that we're doing is fine. Intrafaith, I think, is more important. We want people to advertise Ramadan for us. That's fine. I think we need to encourage building bridges within our own. I think that's better. We're talking about educating on all the 9 yards of the jurisprudence pertaining to Ramadan. I think that's great. But I think we need to do solid education to combat the forces of evil that are infiltrating our own. I think that is much better. We talked about doing for yourself. Why not serve others and get maximum reward in doing that? The last thing, Carl, is the Eid celebration. Laylatul Qadr is just about done. The Quran just completes, and we're talking about the Eid party, the Eid picnic, the Eid carnival, the Eid festival, the Eid prayers. There's going to be one at 7:30, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and parking and logistics. It's all about celebrations and logistics. Carl, I came to know this last Eid, that there are so many people in the community that don't come for the Eid prayer. They're like, you know what? We're not going to wake up another early morning. We'll wake up when we want to and we'll go to the party. So what we're trying to do is do the cookie cutter Islam. Well, I call them the Lennar home cutters, you know, because like Lennar home is a builder in America. They make the same old boring houses. And they say we do it the same way because of consistency for our engineers and architects. Well, sorry, you have some amateur architects if that's the case, that they can't make two different houses. But nevertheless, we're doing this cookie cutter Islam and we're losing out a great segment. The celebration isn't about how we saw it being done. It's about making sure that those new Muslims, those people who are bachelors or bachelorettes in our community, people who are orphans and don't have families, pick them up and come to your Eid prayer. Miss your Eid prayer. Miss your Eid prayer at 7:30 and come to the 9 o'clock one. But bring someone who has no family. I think that's a successful key to Ramadan. I remember once I was leading the Eid prayer. I'm the imam at the mosque. And I came late. Why? Because there was an old man who had no family in the community. His wife died. He was alone. I had to get my kids and my family ready. But we went and picked him up from his gated community and brought him to the mosque. People were crazy. Like, you're 10 minutes late. And I was like, it's fine. Because I'll cut my speech 10 minutes, but there's another person who got to pray with us when he had no family around. So keep that in mind. And the last thing, Carl, is that you alluded towards it. There is that spike in the mosque. And we use that spike to justify, oh, brothers and sisters, we need to expand the masjid because we have no space for iftar. The food is dropping on the carpet. It's only for 30 days. And in the 30 days, if you only do iftar on the weekend, it's only for like 8 days. For the rest of the year, there's no justification for building or expanding masjids unless your community is truly using the facility. So don't go to the masjid and just do it for Ramadan. Let's talk about consistency. Is that we continue doing it after Ramadan. No one's saying you have to go every night, but if you could go 3 nights a week, I think that's progress. So these were the keys of Ramadan, in essence, to the fact that Ramadan is around the corner. Next Tuesday will be, I think, the night before Ramadan begins, or 2 nights before Ramadan begins. We want to share this with our listeners. We want to thank you for engaging with us. We want to thank you for your comments and for your sincere advice. We want to thank you for sharing this message and for downloading it on iTunes, Google Play, Venn Network, and Patreon. And with that, I want to turn it back to Carl.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of episode number 54 of the Raw Islam Podcast with Imam Azhar. I want to thank everybody who joined us this evening. I want to thank Sister Layla for joining us. It's always a blessing to have her in the room. And maybe after Ramadan, we got to have our little beef over the Muslim convert versus Muslim revert. And while I'm talking here, I'm hearing things in the background, which is why I stopped. So I'll let you guys know in case I've never done it before. I live next to a hospital with a helicopter landing pad. Sometimes those helos come in and land, and you can just hear it nice and loud. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another episode. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. I want to thank Naeem Muhammad for joining us this evening. It was a pleasure. I want to thank everybody that has shared this, everybody that has commented, everybody that has liked. Make sure you head over to vennetwork.org where you can get your t-shirt for the Venn Network, and we're still looking for your t-shirt ideas. Those t-shirts go to support the network and to support the hosts. Check out our other shows while you're over there. And if you're so inclined, join us on Patreon for some special gifts just for you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
The
This has been a production of the Venn Network.